Blog Talk Radio.
I decided to take a stand, not knowing when I'd lose my best friend. Up my eyes, all God's children just stand.
Stand.
Tell somebody, say,
you stand.
Yeah, Lord, yeah. Stand for holiness.
For holiness.
Oh.
Stand for righteousness.
And be counted.
Stand,
not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, I'd rather live right, burn in hell, lift up my eyes. All of our children just stand, stand. Everybody say it,
you stand.
Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
David and Diane Ministry and Friends. So once again, we take time to come forth to bring you a word of encouragement from the Lord. Through this difficult time that we're having in society on today, it's interesting and easy for us to just give up. It's easy just throwing a towel and just say, what the heck? I will continue to do what it is that I'm doing. I'm continuing to live the way that I was living. I'm going to continue to encounter the things that I was encountering. But you know, God is coming back. Whether we want to believe it or not, Jesus is returning. And we have to prepare ourselves and be ready. Yet, if we're living in a lifestyle as we are, if we're partaking in the lifestyle that we are, and we're not selling out to God, and we're not trusting God and we're not giving to God, then it is over. But I just want to share with you on today, for those of you who continue to feel that you have a chance, I'm sharing, standing in agreement with you, you still have a chance. It ain't over. It ain't over. Because there comes time in your life where you have to be willing to lose to win and live. Our scripture, praise God, is coming forth out of the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 39. But before I go any further, I want to first and foremost want to give all honor to God, who definitely is ahead of my life. I'd like to honor and acknowledge my wife, Lady Diane Shaw. I also like to acknowledge those that are listening by way of YouTube, Skype, Twitter, Blog Talk. I thank you for joining in on today, and I want to God bless, ask God to bless each and every one of you, 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 and you. You know, on this morning, God has given me a thought in the midst of all of what's transpiring through the pandemic and financial issues and government and just everything that's happening in the world today. It's so easy for us to just roll over and throw in the towel, but it takes a lot stronger person to stay in the midst of adversity. Once again, I come forth to you on today to give you a word of encouragement, to let you know that it's not over. You thought it was, but it's not over. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the time just as now with all of what is going on in the world today. I thank you that I'm able to still call on you. For this time is that time built and set aside in this worship. Hallelujah and glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master, my Savior, my ruler, my King. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We appreciate you for all of what you've done, all of what you're doing right now, and all of what you've done that has yet to come to pass. Lord, we thank you. And as always, we do continue to give you praise. We continue to give you honor. And we continue to give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And as always, we'd be so careful to give you all praise, all honor, and all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm truly honored in Jesus' name to be before you with the word of encouragement on today, because God is still on the throne. I give God praise. I give God honor, because without God, I'm nothing. But with God, by God, and for God, I can do all things through God, which gives me strength. You know, God is awesome God. He still sits on the throne. And that no matter what, no matter how difficult or how strange it might seem, no matter how hard it may appear visually, and no matter how unfortunate it may have happened in the past, God is still on the throne. Once again, we're truly honored to be before you today on Dave and Diane Ministry in France, where we bring this word entitled, It's Not Over. It's Not Over. We're taking a reading out of the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And the meat of our scripture is in verse 39. But we're going to read in the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And this is Jesus Christ talking. Jesus Christ is talking to the church and letting them know this is how we ought to live. The 12 disciples that he had spoken to, he was speaking to them, teaching them how they ought to live. We go through much of the stories in the Word of God and we recognize biblically the stories that have been told, and much have been told was without Jesus, and where the disciples had walked and roamed the earth. But this is actual word coming from Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. And he, in the name of Jesus, as we know and trust and believe, is God in the flesh. You see, as we recognize and pick up in the book of Matthew, we read chapter 10. Chapter 10, praise God, is giving understanding as to what and how we as men and women of God are to live. And it's here in which Jesus Christ was with the disciples. And this is after he's come forth to give the mission to the 12 disciples. In the midst of that, we recognize in chapter 10 the arguments and the concerns on losing what it is that you have, giving up what it is that you've acquired. But when we set forth and recognize our commitment to God, the imperative understanding that we must have is that we have to be willing to let go and let God in every facet and area in our life with no fear, with no concern as to the negative outcome and worry. Because as we recognize, praise God, there is purpose to our life. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, Jesus says to the disciples that he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake findeth. But as we go up to verse 34, I want to share that Jesus Christ has given us an explanation of how we ought to live. And he says that think not that I am come to send peace on earth, and I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy for me. and he, their loved son or daughter more than me, is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And once again, verse 39, this is our meat. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your commitment given unto us to continue to move forward, to do all of what you have for us to do. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we ask that you speak to me and speak through me. For this message that goes forward is for the soul. Help us to continue to grow strong in you as we live on today. Thank you, God, as we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Well, once again, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Not peace, but a sword. Not peace, but a sword. Now, the title of this message on today is that it's not over. I'm willing to lose to win and live. I'm willing to lose to win and live. That's deep and very profound. For just as much as we have in the Word, praise God, and as Jesus Christ is talking to the disciples in the book of Matthew, we see that Jesus is letting us know, picking up at verse 34, that think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Think not that I have come and sent peace on the earth. Some people have questions within themselves. Again, after why does this transpire and that transpire? Why is there havoc on the east side of town and it's peaceful on the west side? Or why are they caught up in all the negativity of breaking in the stores and the sin that's going on in the community? And I'm okay right here. I'm okay right now, just for a second. But my point that we're making is that Jesus Christ did not come to send peace on the earth. He did not come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. And that sword is coming from the Word of God. And in that Word of God, you must know the Word of God, to speak the Word of God upon your situation. So the sword that Jesus Christ wants us to present unto the world is the Word of God. Now, we must learn and know and study that Word, to know that Word. So when we're presented with situations upon your life, we can speak that word and pull out that sword, and that sword in turn will defend you, protect you. But the one thing you understand is that even in the battle of David versus Goliath, many of those felt that he needed a huge sword to defeat the giant. He needed a huge weapon and the best of armor to defeat the giant. But little David was too small in stature to be able to hold the weight of the sword that they tried to give to him. And he was very tiny to put on the heavy equipment that they gave for him. But in this sword that we're speaking on today, praise God, is that sword that is in the Word of God. And if you have that sword, which is stronger than any two-edged sword, then you will be able to defeat the enemy by way of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of the word that's going forth from God. That sword that we use is that of the word of God. And in word of God, we recognize that in the book of John, chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. So that sword is God in your presence through words that you speak and learn through the Bible, through your relationship, through the Holy Spirit. It's the spoken word that defeats your situation. It's Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, that defeats your situation. In your sickness, Jesus Christ in the flesh defeats your sickness. You see, it's important to understand that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the greatest thing of all is the Word that was spoken forth upon whatever situation that was presented. We cry, we whine, we complain, we put blame on everyone else. And then when we don't have the answer, come on, somebody, we want to talk about it, we want to drink about it, we want to drug about it, we want to use about it, we want to fuss about it, we want to be riotous about it. We want to do everything negative outside of God, that it becomes redundant. It becomes redundant. And in a sense, we recognize the insanity of doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. But the same thing doing over and over is quitting when you haven't even begun. Or you quit just as soon as you begun. But I stopped by to tell you, it's not over. You battle what you battle through because God is making you stronger for something greater. He's preparing us for something greater. You just don't see it yet. I don't just see it yet, but he's preparing it for something greater. But the word says in Matthew chapter 34, is that we recognize that no matter what, we have to trust in God. But he lets us know, it's to think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I have come not to send peace, but a sword. He wants you to use his words. He wants you to trust and depend on him. The word on today is to cast your cares upon the Lord. It's understanding, knowing that you're going through what you're going through. But the word is letting us know that God is with us. He says here in verse 35, for I come to set a man at variance against his father and his daughter against his mother and his daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own house. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. For he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall save it, shall find it. Many of our occurrences and situations happen because we allowed ourselves to put our foot in our mouth. You know what it means. When we have an answer to something, but it's the wrong answer at the wrong time. But we have a need in the name of Jesus to press on to see what the final outcome might be. I'm trusting that talking to somebody out there. Somebody out there that you've been battling and struggling for so many years on how to overcome your situation. But I'm here to tell you that when we look to the hills, the Word of God says, which cometh our help, it's acknowledged that our help comes from God. That sword that we have is the Word of God. And it becomes imperative that we speak that Word of God and come to knowing and recognizing the Word of God upon our situation. So when we're presented with an issue of a sickness, or we're presented with a need, or we're presented with a situation that requires prayer, which all things do, we have to be mindful that God's word is the only thing that will last. God is able to do far and exceedingly above anything we can think or imagine. And as soon as we feel we have the answer, as soon as we feel it's over, then God let us know to praise and worship him in the midst of that situation. For as the Israelites came to the Red Sea, and Moses took them there, and as he took them to the Red Sea, praise God, we notice in Bible reading that as they came there, they started to complain to Moses. They started to fuss with Moses. They started to complain and say, you brought us out here. You took us out of bondage. You took us away from Pharaoh, and now you brought us out here to die. To die, to perish. So much of what they say and what we know is that when they got in the midst of a crisis, they began to worry and they began to complain. What it's imperative that you understand on today, my friend, is that those things that have happened had to happen. It had to happen because there was a point where you, through running the race, you had to call on Jesus. You had to call on your faith in God. You had to trust in him. For if you were not tried in the fire, in the midst of your situation, then you would just be, not just you, but myself, we would be spoiled brats. Think about it. If God gave us everything that we wanted, every time that we wanted, and answered at our beck and call every time that we wanted, and we had no heartache and no pain, and everything was peachy keen, would you thank him? Would you appreciate him? Would you recognize him? Would you call on him? But it's in the midst of those adverse circumstances that we go through where we need to learn to lean and depend on the Lord. This is what's become very important in our life on today. That oftentimes you find situations needed to have prayer, needed to have rescue when your back is against the wall. But the imperative thing is that we have to seek the face of the Lord all the time. We should not sleep nor slumber. We should have a mind kept on the Lord where we are always to pray. Let there be a point where we have prayer on a daily basis where it becomes a big deal to you. Man should always pray. According to Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought to always pray. You see, just as a physician's body needs oxygen, think about it. Your body needs oxygen. And it's imperative to understand that your spiritual life, as a man or a woman of God, needs prayer. That prayer is used to help strengthen and give nourishment, to give encouragement, to give positive nature to your spirit. You see, the Lord said to Paul that he should be whole and be prayerful. In Acts chapter 9, verse 11, it is telling us that we should be sober-minded, that we should be vigilant, knowing that the devil roams around like a lion, seeking who he may devour. We're going to come forth and give you in the future some reasons why man should pray. Man should pray to show his obedience to God, to show his commitment, to show his loyalty, to show his faith. And in so doing, we recognize that when we come against a situation, don't count it strange. The Word of God says, don't count it strange when you fall into divers temptations. Because it's in the midst of you going through what you're going through, which gives God a chance to get the glory in bringing you through and bringing you out. See, it's all about acknowledging God, the ultimate creator and control, that you are not in control because of a certain way that you're able to eloquently speak something upon something. You're not getting that job because of the way you talk or the size of your arms or your ability to roundhouse. You didn't get that job. You got that job. You got that job because God gave you favor in the midst of a storm. Just when we thought our back was against the wall. Just when we thought we were going to jail. Just when we thought, in the name of Jesus, the lights are going to get turned off. Just as you thought, in the name of Jesus, that they're getting ready to tow your car. Just as you thought, in the name of Jesus, you're getting ready to get evicted. God shows up. And he brings you forth with an extension on your payment for your mortgage or your rent. He comes up with favor where you get pulled over by a police officer. And instead of you going to jail or getting a ticket, he gets you off with a warning. And there's countless other emergency situations that had come up in your life that only way it could have happened, only way I could have made it through is if God breathed on my situation. You see, just when you thought it was over, just when you thought it was over, God shows up. Classic example is when he took his son up to the hill to kill his son. He was going to sacrifice his son, Isaac. But before he was able to draw and kill his son Isaac for a sacrifice, God allowed a ram to be in the bush, which became his ultimate sacrifice. But what I say and share is, through the word, God lets us know, and through the experiences and example, that God lets us know that in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your sacrifice, God has a ram in a bush for you. You see, you're not going to come overnight. Because many of us have been battling and running and fighting with God, questioning why. And all the time in which we're questioning why, when we need to be doing what it is God has called for us to do. We spend more time questioning why, and that time we spend questioning is when we should have been doing it. And when we should have been doing it, we could have saved someone's life. We could have helped someone change their mind. We could have helped somebody live a little longer. Something could have been done if we just get our selfish attitude and our selfishness out of the equation. You know, the word lets us know to love God and to think of God. He lets us know in the name of Jesus, if you love the Lord, if is a word that's a conjunction, which means that everything that you speak on now is very important. But what I'm about to say when you say if, that everything that I said that was very important, that's important, but this is even more important. The explanation of saying if after, the word after you say if holds precedence over the importance of what's being explained. I want you to understand that when you start speaking about something, you looking good today, you smelling fine today, that's important. However, when they use the word after they say those things, you're looking fine today, but you smell good today, but you know what I mean, praise God. Yet the point of the matter is all of what was said was important, but this is more important to even that. For it all protrudes out of the word of God. But we have an importance to understand that we have a responsibility to seek the Lord thy God while he may be found. And that in all things we ought to be thankful. Man ought to always pray in the morning, in the noon, at night. But the point is, men ought to always pray, because in the midst of sin, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of the rain, God allows to speak through man to bring word to these thy people. You have to maintain communication through the Spirit. And a man of God that has a relationship with God, allowing God to speak to him and through him, brings the message to let you know, this is what thus saith the Lord. And we have many nationalities, many relations We have many situations, but the thing is that God's relationship onto you is a personal thing. And you have to come to know the Lord for yourself. You have to study the word according to his word to show thyself approved. The word of God says, a workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Now, the important thing is that recognizing that this is the word of God, and this is the powerful, powerful word of God. The same word of God, when God said, let us make man, and after he said everything he said, it is good. All that is being said is that God is in control and that spirit is that which can be within you. And only thing that was stopped, what God had placed in motion, is you. You are the only thing that can stop what God has placed in motion. The word lets us know that the only thing that God does and has will last. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But those things that work according in your life works under that relationship that you have with the Father. For the Holy Spirit is your brother and sister in Christ. The Holy Spirit is your mother and Father in Christ. But the most common denominator is in Christ. You see, when we let go and let God, no more is it about us, but it's the Christ that's in us, and it's imperative for you to understand on today. Whoa, 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 whoa. It's okay. You've been through a little something, something. Your feelings been hurt. But praise God, amen. Because it's imperative to know that on today it's important. A few good people need to just open their mouth and just say, thank you. Thank you for bringing me through. Thank you for keeping me. And if there's any point of selfishness, think on that level. Be selfish to keep the Spirit of God in your life. That's my God. Speak on that. That's my Father. Speak on that. And it's in so doing that positive nature that transpires over a period of time allows you to grow and be a stronger man and be a strong woman. For when you're brought forth with the adverse circumstances of times just as now, you'll be able to overcome in the midst of your storm. There's many people in the name of Jesus that have overcome many adverse circumstances. There's many people that have thought, it's over, I'm done. There's a song that we know that the sun will come out in the morning. If you just hold out. I know that there's times when you feel, I can't do it. I know there's times you feel that it's over. But yet God still is on the throne. And as we recognize, praise God, in Matthew 6 and 33, that we are to what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on. So the main thing that we must learn to do is seek God first. What do you have to lose? You tried everything else. And if you had not tried, why don't you? Sometimes God will just give you little spurts of blessing. But nonetheless, those little spurts of blessings are yet and still blessings. And it's just as our natural, you have to learn to crawl before you walk. It's part of the divine order. And as we know, God does all things decently and in order. When you look at life and you look at the situations on today, we know what natural and what normal looks like. Two hands, two legs, one right leg, one right arm, one left leg, one left arm. One head. But if you see something different than that, two heads, two left feet, two right feet, those would be considered a freak. That would be considered a freak. That freak would be out of the order of how God initially intended for it to be. Two men, two women. That's out of order. That's out of God's divine order. So with that being said, it's imperative to recognize the importance of where you stand. If you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that he died and rose from the dead, if you believe that there's heaven after death, if you believe that God is, if you believe and have that faith. Now you journey to Hebrews, you see, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. However, I want you to journey down that same chapter 11 to verse 6 in the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews 11 and 6, we have a lot of spectacular things, a lot of things prior to Hebrews 11 and 6 that was said and acknowledged. Very important, very powerful. However, this word, which is a conjunction, but, he says here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He says, but without faith, and this is in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So you rely on faith that it's going to take fruition, from faith that what God said is going to be. It takes faith, which is hope, with this trust in what thus saith the Lord. So with that being said, if you know and get in tune with the word of God, you will know within your Noah, how should I say, your Noah, that it's not over. It's not over. With your true relationship with the Holy Spirit and God himself, God all-powerful, powerful over everything, everything. I want that to simmer in somebody. Over everything, God. And it takes time to acquire that level of trust and faith in God in some areas. But if we're able to get that level of faith and trust in God, then much will transpire on the positive. However, I want to share you with this. The Word of God says faith. You can have faith as to the size of a grain of mustard seed. Mustard seed faith. Mustard seed faith. Now, study shows that mustard seed, a mustard seed, Google it, is one of the smallest seeds known to man. And that very seed, when it is planted and nourished and taken care of, grows to be a magnificent ornament tree, magnificent, huge tree out of just a small seed. That same seed that was planted for that olive tree or that mustard seed is a tree that many of you are. Many of us at one point in time had no tomorrow just for the fact that we gave it up because of yesterday. We gave it up. We gave up. Gave up. How many of you gave up? Stop. Stop giving up. Stop turning over. And trust who you are and what you are. The Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've been there. I know the lifestyle. I know what's going down. But what makes me the person I am today is my commitment and love and the calling that God had on my life. Understanding, though I've been through much and experienced much, that doesn't hold and accept the fact that God brought me through my lifestyle of addiction, my lifestyle of sickness physical, my lifestyle of homelessness, my lifestyle of where I've been and my decision making, my lifestyle of where I live. God turned it around. I share my testimony on the day because God took me. I wasn't raised in the streets. I wasn't raised doing drugs. I wasn't raised in that lifestyle. I come from a hardworking family, hardworking father. My mother was a nurse. My sister graduated college. My brother, I come from a good family, yet and still I chose to make poor mistakes because I gave up. When it wasn't over, I gave up. When it got difficult against my, I gave up. When I didn't know what to do, I gave up. Instead of doing what God would have been taught to do in the church, and that is Matthew 6:33. And that is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God is that understanding. That kingdom of God is that peace. That kingdom of God is God. And realizing the spirit of God that is needed to rest on the inside of you. You and you. To give you that peace. To give you that patience. To give you that temperance. Because in the midst, we need the fruit of the spirit, which is an attribute. The attributes of God through his fruit, which gives us love, Galatians, joy, peace, patience, temperance, meekness, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. If you're constantly cussing and you're fussing, that ain't no control. If you're constantly drinking and drugging, that's definitely no control. Without moderation, not control. Anything that you put over God becomes your God. And anything that takes you away from God becomes your drug. Come on, somebody. And he mentions that we must live sober-minded, and that sober-minded nature is that where we must learn to recognize God through it all. That we don't need a shot of Hennessy because of a celebration for a job. We don't need a shot. We don't need anything outside of the spiritual Holy Ghost. Yet God has mercy on us. Where yet when we were yet sinners, Christ died. It's important to know, yet understand, when you're still sinning, it's not all about you cussing. It's not all about you drinking. It's not all about those things that you're doing on that side. But it's also about those things that you are not doing that you were called to do because of the talents that you have. And it becomes selfish when you do not give what God so freely gives to you back to someone else so that you be helped. You see, this is a word of encouragement to let you know that you never know who's watching you. You never know who's paying attention to you. So you have to be ready in season and out of season. We have a responsibility as a man and woman of God. We first have a responsibility as men to have a relationship with God. First and foremost. Because if not, how can you know who you are, know who your wife is, how do you know your children are? When you don't even know who you are, your purpose. We have a responsibility to worship. We have a responsibility to praise God. Because if you just stop right now and you look outside that window, you look outside that window and you see, first word come to my mind is wow. Wow. Wow, because all of what's before me was made by something. Came from something. I'm not talking about the buildings that we see that have been constructed. That comes from a man's brain. You know, we understand all that. But let's look at the little trees, the little plants. Let's look at the little insects and the bugs. Let's look at the little things that are spectacular to the eye, and you wonder and question how. God is God. And no matter how much we resist it, and no matter how much you, that's insignificant. It's insignificant as to how we personally somewhat feel, in a sense, because whether you feel good or whether you not, God is still God. Whether you believe it or whether you don't, God is still God. And the only way in which you are even able to talk about God is because he called you, he foreknew you, and it was in, I should say, the cards for you to be called and grafted into his body of Christ. Understand that body of Christ, that the spiritual relationship that you have with God, it has been prayed over, it's been prayed on. The Bible says the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The affectionate, fervent means continual. Continual prayer, continual, fervent, diligently. No matter what, I'm praying for California. I'm praying for my cousin Mookie to get off of cocaine. I'm praying for AIDS not to come upon my nephew. I'm praying that the pandemic is cured. I'm praying that God gives us favor. All this is imperative that we must maintain and pick up that sword. Pick up that sword so that we can fight that battle. That battle that's been won already. That battle was won when Jesus Christ went down and got the keys to hell. Now the enemy will be locked up for years and years, forever. Right now, he's out here roaming. Right now, he's tempting us to do. Right now, but God is able to do far and exceedingly above anything you can think or imagine. God is able to heal, kill, and destroy. God is able to. We have to learn to trust in God. Realize in the name of Jesus that it's not over. And you have to be willing to lose to live. Lose your life. Lose your thoughts. Lose your desire. Yours. And pick up the whole armor of God. That's the armor. That's the armor that will protect you from any pain, a wound. But you also have to maintain the mind frame mentally of how God desires for us to maintain ourselves. For the word lets us know to be not conformed. Come on, somebody. To be not conformed to this world, but yet be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be renewed, you have to study, read, pray, meditate, take time out. You know? If you're smoking cigarettes, I'm not condoning you. I'm not judging you. But all I share is that take time out. Take a moment. If you look at soap operas all the time, take a time out and give God some praise. That time you spent half an hour, 45 minutes looking at that, why don't you spend that half hour, 45 minutes just seeking the face of God and just thanking Him? Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For a whole half an hour just thanking Him. A whole half an hour just saying glory to God, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Because what we need to do on today, we need to learn to praise. We need to praise God in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our situation. Praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And see, we spend more time seeking the face of God and praying. I recognize in Jesus' name that now that I spend more time seeking the face of God, and now that I'm showing more commitment to God, yes, even now, there's much that has changed in my life, even now, to another level. I'm able to see things through the glass a lot clearer. I thank God, because at the time in which I thought it was over, it wasn't. Because God, we know, has the final say. Once again, just as the Israelites, as they came up to the Red Sea, and they were at the sea, and they didn't know how they were going to get across the sea, and Moses lifted up that, and he parted the Red Sea. Drug addiction, alcohol abuse, pornography, spousal abuse. Somebody need to lift up the staff. Lift up that staff in the name of Jesus and go to freedom and deliver it from that issues that the enemy's trying to bring upon your life. For like we say earlier, the word lets us know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And trusting in God will let us know that there will be no hurt, harm, or danger that will come by us, because it's in that where we plead the blood of Jesus, which protects us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, allowing us in the name of Jesus to be able to call upon the name of the Lord. Somebody today needs to call on the name of the Lord by holding up their staff and recognizing that though the armies are behind me pressing forward, I'm going forward and pressing on to the call that God has for me. There is no river. There is no hill. There is no mountain that can hold me back. God has purpose for me. And that purpose that he has for me has to come forth because I'm letting go and letting God on today. The Bible says daily we must deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow. Deny yourself today. Deny yourself today and pick up the cross. That cross is the understanding that, yes, Jesus Christ died for your sins. And, yes, God has my back. I don't have to have the I don't have to have all the answers. But I do know that if we let go and let God in the midst of the situation that we encounter, God will show up. And when God shows up, God will show out. There's many of us out there who have had a sickness or disease. There's many of us out there who've had issues financially. There's many of us out there who've had living issues or arrangements that have been compromised. And yet, through it all, you're complaining, you're worrying, your fear, it's not making matters any better. So the one thing that's left to do that is nothing but positive, and that is seek the face of God while he may be found. For the word of God says is that heaven and earth will pass away, but, there's that but, my word will never pass away. You see, heaven and earth will pass away. That's going to happen. But his word, which is far stronger and greater than the heavens and the earth, that it's going to take fruition. It's going to happen through that faith that we have in God. I'm Elder David Ambrose Shaw of David and Diane Ministry and Friends. Well, we come forth to you today with the word entitled, "It's Not Over." I'm willing to lose, to win and live. God says that we have to be willing to lose ourselves for gain, eternally, salvation, Jesus. What are you willing to lose today? What are you willing to give up today? What's more important to you today? What are you waiting for? Why? And then you have to see it. And look, you looking for something to happen positive in your life? Some of you just got healed from a sickness. Some of you just had birth. Some of you just woke up. God has purpose to bring life upon you. But not, you still have to accept it. You still have the free will that God has given us to choose. Free will to choose which way you're going to live. But it's only going to be one or two ways. I want you to feel that. It's only going to be one of the two ways. That is good versus evil. God, the devil. Right, wrong. In, out. Up, down. You only can have one of the choices. So With that being said, knowing that God is a God of life, Jesus is a God, and I come that you might have life and have life more abundantly, what do you choose this day? What do you choose this day? Now, I understand, like I said, Rome wasn't built overnight. However, the one thing is that once you let go and let God and say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. And come into my life. I understand that Jesus Christ died, rose from the dead, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. And I believe in my heart. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I believe in my heart. Jesus Christ died, rose from the dead. I'm confessing my sin, and I'm inviting you in my life. Amen. Thank you. And that's the sinner's prayer. I know it sounds simple, but just as we prayed it right then, and if you're listening in the archives, that prayer still is enough for you to be saved. Saved, step one. Now, you got other things to do to maintain your salvation. You got other things to do because now you woke up. And just as any of us, you wake up, you don't just get up and leave. You got to get up and prepare yourself. Take a shower, wash your face, brush your teeth, get dressed. The preparation of what we're doing today as men and women of God is that we're dressing as to how we ought to be in society today. But there's a lot of naked people out there. Are you going to be one to dress them or provide ways to dress them? Because God is a shelter. We have to let go and let God, because it's not over despite the fact of how it looks on the outside. God is still God all by himself. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we will open up the mic. If there's anyone with comments, please feel free to mention, speak. But this is a message entitled, It's Not Over. I'm willing to lose to win and live. I never could have made it.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I'm not afraid to
praise him. We praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And glory to God. God, we praise you. We praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We never would have made it without you, Lord. Never would have made it without you, Lord. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm thankful to God for being live with you on today at David and Diane Ministry and Friends. Currently, we're going to open up the mics. If there's anyone that can afford to have any comment towards anything that we have forth on today, God bless you. If you even like prayer, God bless you. The mics are open. Amen. But we just want to continue to press on. Amen. Amen.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Andrew calling out of L.A., California, man. Here at work, we got to hear the whole entire message. Man, this message, I mean, every message hits home, but this one really hit home. It hit home in a couple of aspects. One, that song really hits home. You know, never could have made it. I really could have never made it without God. And I was sharing a story with you the other day, Pastor Shaw, about my supervisor here at work saying he became a Christian because he could have only been saved and his prayer could have only been heard by one person. And he didn't think it would have ever been possible without God. And, you know, I would have never been possible without God. And, you know, your message really hit home because as I share week after week, giving up is easier. Giving up is easy. Throwing in the white flag is easy. The Bible never says it's life is going to be easy. The Bible never says we're not going to suffer. The Bible never says that everything we go through, we're going to get out of. And, you know, God uses everyone in mysterious ways and in his own ways because God has his own plan set out for you, but it's for the greater. We do not have a misleading God. We do not have a judgmental God. We do not have a God that's going to put us on the path where he can't get us out of. You see, everything that I was in, I thought I couldn't get out of. I thought nobody could get me out of, but God got me out of it. God got me through it. God got me past it. And, you know, you said something that really hit home for me was that God didn't promise us peace on this earth. God didn't come to give us peace on this earth, but there was a swore. What is our duty here? God gave up his son for our sins. So what is our duty? Our duty is to be an ambassador of God, to share his word, to spread the word, to give out the word, to bless people, to save people, to heal people, to pray for people. And how do we do all of that? How are all of those things accomplished? As you said, through prayer. We must pray. Prayer is the way to communicate through God and to God. Prayer is the way to get to God. Prayer is to get three things you need to get through. You need that bill paid. What do you do? Pray. You're about to get evicted. What do you do? Pray. You're having addiction. How do you get through it? Pray. How do you get through all these things? Prayer, 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 prayer. And I'm speaking on behalf of evidence. Because as we have talked about today, faith. Faith. Faith is the things hoped for, but the things of evidence not seen. And I'm speaking on behalf of that experience. Because I was in a spot in my life where if I didn't pray or have that mustard seed of faith, I felt I couldn't be delivered. I felt that that white tower and giving up was the thing to do. Because I was already there. All I had to do was give up. It was easy. It didn't require nothing to do. I just had to give up. But that little mustard seed of faith, and that one, not two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten prayers, but that one prayer and that little, I'm talking one prayer and a mustard seed of faith got me to be to where I am today. It didn't take much.
Hallelujah.
It didn't take a sweat. It didn't take me running 10 miles, doing 100 push-ups and 80 jumping jacks. losing 80 pounds off my body. It took a mustard seed of faith and one prayer.
Amen.
That's all it took.
Amen.
And if I can do it, y'all can do it. And it really, I took today's message as a refresher to my mind, to my body, a refresher of where I am today and how I became where I am today. So I want to thank you for that message, Pastor Shaw. And I'll be talking live tomorrow on the air at 6 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Central, and 9 o'clock Eastern. We're going to be diving in the book of Matthew chapter 11. And I'll be coming live on the air tomorrow. Thanks a lot for the Sunday service, Pastor Shaw.
Amen. Praise God. That is our brother, our minister, Andrew Orland, out of Los Angeles, California. And we truly thank God in the name of Jesus for him and his commitment as he continues to bring forth his word in Jesus' name. We thank God for him because, you know, he brought him, and I've shared with him much of how God has brought him through. You people need to understand. I'm saying you people like you're aliens or anything. What I'm saying is that we need to recognize that we all go through something. We all been there and done that. We all got a story to tell. But how is your story today? You know, it's not where you come from. It's where you're going. My wife often says that about, it's not all about where you come from. It's where you're going. You know, we stand on faith and we stand on trusting God. But do you really? Are you doing it just for the convenience of making somebody else sound or feel good? You see, God knows what's really and truly is on the inside of you. You can't fake me out, and I can't fake you out. And I'm not even going to try. But one day at a time, we have to deny ourselves, no matter how easy and simple it might be to do the wrong. Mm-hmm. It's better, amen, it's better to deny ourselves. Pick up the cross and follow after God. We have another caller. Praise God if you're there. You're the
amen,
open.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, praise God. Yes, ma'am.
Amen, it's Lady Diane Shaw. Praise the Lord, sweetheart. I really enjoyed your message. You know, I was thinking about faith that you were speaking and giving such a powerful, inspiring message. And that Hebrews 11:1, it talks about now faith is a substance. It talks about that now faith, not that last year faith or that, you know, what you had back in the years. It's talking about that now. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I began to think about that. I said, well, you know, we all stand on faith, but what happens when God don't answer that prayer right away? And so sometimes God will stand back and want to see, okay, you say you have faith, so what if I ain't going to be that, you know, that deliver right now? You know, right now, Lord, right now, Lord. You know, that's where, you know, it's kind of like, let me see if that faith you're talking about is real, because I may not come when you want me to come. I know when the right time to come. So what happens when God don't answer that prayer right away? That's when that exercising of real faith steps in. It's that hope. You know, he ain't doing it now, but the substance of things hoped for, I don't see it right now, but that don't mean he ain't going to make it happen. So my faith is not based on what I see. It's what I know and what I believe. Amen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I thank you for that because it's a powerful message. Sometimes a lot of us have to hear messages like that as to say, you know, are you going to continue believing God when he don't do this, when he don't say, when he don't heal, when he don't deliver, you know? But God is still God. Does that make God not a deliverer? No, he's still a deliverer. Mm. God is a deliverer. God is a healer. Amen. A lot of times we just want to build up our faith. So sometimes when we don't hear from God, I believe that's what makes our faith even more stronger. Amen.
Wow.
Because we begin to
still
trust God. Lord, I trust you in spite of what you're doing. Because it ain't what you're doing now. It's what you're going to do and what you always have. He's always came on time, you know. And I just thank God for that. So praise God and God bless you. And thank you for staying on your post. Love you.
Amen. Praise God. That was Lady Diane Shaw, once again, as I mentioned, she's extremely instrumental in the advancement of David and Diane Ministry and Friends, and also she's instrumental in Monument of Hope and Deliverance. We thank God in the name of Jesus for her, and we thank God for Minister Andrew Orlander, who've also commented on this segment today. We thank God for their commitment to David and Diane Ministry and Friends, and we thank God that we continue to move forward and press on one day at a time. Once again, as Lady Diane mentioned, God is still on the throne. And it's going to happen no matter what, whether you believe it or not. With God, only thing he says will last. And that's
Amen.
How we believe, and that's where we have faith. And we have to trust in that. We have to believe in that. We have to live with that. Because, like you say, though tomorrow's not promised, we have to take heed of those things that are sufficient for today. Let tomorrow worry about itself. He says that in the book of Matthew when he speaks on don't worry. So we don't have a need to worry, for our focus is to be worshiping and praising God, not worry. I'm David and Diane, Ministry and Friends, today, and I thank you for joining us. We come forth with that powerful word. It's not over. I'm willing to lose, to win, and live. We're taking that out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. The word that we brought forth today is a word of encouragement, a word from the Lord. And this is what we let you know, is that we love you with the love of God. It's something I say that I will continue to say. If loving the Lord is wrong, if loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right. God bless each and every one out there. We look forward to hearing, seeing, and praying for you coming throughout the week. We meet again every Monday, Wednesday, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We come forth with the Bible reading at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. That's 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we read the Bible Monday through Friday. And then we come forth. We do try to come forth on noonday encouragement at noon. We're coming forth to come forth with that. And we also still come forth, as Minister Andrew mentioned, on Monday he's coming forth with his word. I encourage everyone to listen in on that because he comes with a very powerful word of encouragement as well. Lady Diane was looking into the future, coming in on the mic. And we look forward to always listening to her. So we want to keep the mics open for when she comes in the studio. And I also want to mention that every Sunday we still come forth with the word at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. It's imperative to understand that the clocks have been, I believe, turned up. The clocks have been turned up. So tune in. Stay abreast to what we're doing here. And if you desire to bring forth tithes or offering or support our ministry, you can use ShawDavid1968@yahoo.com. And we can send your donations or your support to our radio show. It does cost to be on the air and so on, but we trust God in all of what we do. Once again, thank you for joining us on today. God bless you. Once again, understand, Jesus loves you, and so do I. And as I said before, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God bless you. Until next time, I'm Elder David Ambrose Shaw. Be blessed.